views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 6. It is a Thursday, December the 21st, 2017. Just want to thank you all for listening to today's show. We have a live show for you today. Looking forward to engaging in that with you all. And at any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate to give us a call at 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, and hit **. And that will, we'll see you in queue. Hit **, that will unmute you, and then you can ask your question or comment. So definitely looking forward to getting into today's show with you all. And to me, it's a very, very, very critical time in our eternal existence, and wouldn't want to be here. I mean, wouldn't want to be anywhere else than right here doing what we're doing. So it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So definitely, if you'd like to engage with us, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, then hit ** once again, and we'll see you in queue, and we'll bring you up. For the first part of the show, I will be able to see you in queue, but after the first part of the show, I won't be able to see you in queue because I'll be traveling, so we'll just have to take the, if you call in, just can say, excuse me. And I will see you, and then we will definitely will bring you up so that you can ask your question or make your comment. All right? Definitely looking forward to that for today's show. Great, great, great. So let's get into, before we get into today's show, let's jump right into what we need to take care of. And everyone, the first things first is that we need to ensure that we have Black Talk Radio Network here, and you can do that by making by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com. BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com, and give in some of your financial energy. When you see on the homepage, you will see where the overall prompt is to give some of your financial energy by way of a donation. If you would do that, we'd greatly appreciate it. All donations, no matter how great or how small, are greatly, greatly appreciated. So give what it is that you can to ensure that Black Talk Radio Network is on air going forward. So looking forward to that. And I would always say, don't just eat the fruit, feed the roots. And many people always, we do that because, you know, we've been taught to be that way, where we always want someone to give something, and we don't know what the overall sacrifice of that is. And so there's a great sacrifice for all of the people that are here at Black Talk Radio Network. And it's just up to you all that listen in. You've already deemed it as being relative and worth it in your life. That's why you listen. So if you would, just give some of your financial energy so that this network can continue to grow and move forward, okay? Also, you can support the network by going to www.btrcommunity, www.btrcommunity, and BTR Community is a social media outlet where you can engage in all of your social media activities without being as adversely affected. So come on over to BTR Community. It's the only place that I post. I didn't want to post in FedBook, but sometimes I do for other reasons. But this is where I share
Dave, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
This is my preferred. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty. No, you're good.
Yeah, for some reason, I don't know if it's just me, but I'm hearing like this really annoying noise when we talk. That could be my speakers, but let me mute you and unmute you, and maybe I won't hear that. But that could be my speakers. I just want to make sure our listeners get the best listening experience possible. All right, seems like it's gone away. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay. Was it? Do you still hear it, Scotty?
I think it might be these external speakers, but I'll work on it behind the scenes. I'll go check it out on another computer to see how it sounds. Sorry to interrupt.
Okay. No. It's perfectly well. Perfectly well. Interrupt anytime, bro. This is why we're here. So, BTR Community. So, come on over to BTR Community, $24 a year, and you can post things about you, your business, or things that you think are relevant to move forward. So, please do that there. Also, let me see. Not good. One second, everyone, just reading something real quick. Oh, man, not good. One second. Okay, so definitely give some of your finance be a part of BTR Community. Very, very important. Also, if you would like to acquire real money, you can do that by going to Prosperity Mint. You can, even though you're not paid as a king and a queen, you definitely can save as a king and a queen and a lady and a gentleman and not be paid as a slave and save as a slave. Let me see. Man, there's a lot going on in the world right now. I'm going to try to catch up and just checking to make sure. And we're going to jump right into that. So definitely want to do that. Also, if you would like to be a part of the Trade Coin Club trading, you could do that. Email me at wolf6pack1. Or if you'd like to be a part of Coins of Change, very good program where you can get an opportunity to acquire cryptocurrencies that you can turn into real money. And it's, you know, crowdfunding is a great, great opportunity. And it's the best way to have generational wealth. And only the people that don't know that say that that's not true is because they don't have generational wealth. Anybody that has generational wealth will whisper and say, yep, that was it. And they don't want you to know. So it's how the governments have become extremely wealthy. This is how church organizations have become extremely wealthy, because they crowdfund. This is how Facebook has been extremely wealthy, and many that proven practice works. Just a matter of who does it, okay? So, and what that basically means, what is real wealth? Wealth is just nothing more where you're not required to work for someone. You're sustainable. And, many can't conceive that because they've worked their whole lives and everything that they've ever seen around them were people that worked their whole lives. And so, you know, it's creatures of habit. And so it's something that has escaped many, but and it will escape many more. But those that want to change that, the power is yours to do that. And all you have to do is find out how that works, and then, you know, move into that type of space that best fits you. Not good for everybody. Not a choice, you know, not something that everybody would choose. That's fine. I choose it because I know the overall historical truth of it. I choose it for a lot of different reasons, and I'm going to continue to do. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I've done extremely, extremely well. Extremely, extremely well, where that has been the overall case from that. And then some of the future, I expect that to be even greater from the crowdfunding platform. And I'm really looking forward to getting into Collective Prudence with many people. Man, I'm going to tell y'all, give you a little a bit about, I had a meeting today with a artist. Phenomenal, phenomenal, powerful, powerful sister and our manager. And it was so great to hang with and to have this meeting and just to see how different life experiences have actually allowed us to gain so much expertise, and then to share that expertise. And this powerful, powerful sister really touched my spirit to from a standpoint of motivation. It was a pleasant harmony, and she said something to me that was absolutely. There was a couple of things that she said and she shared with me that was powerful, extremely, extremely powerful. And I won't share that private conversation, but I'll just say this, that where we are is because we choose to be there. And where we're going will be because of the choices that we make to get where we're going. And that's neither bad nor good. That's just the truth. Yes, there will be different circumstances and different obstacles, different will gather different momentum that will be fueled with JP5, highly explosive gas. And then there will be times that you'll move at a snail's pace and you still will be making progress. But everywhere that you go and everything that you engage in is because you choose your direction, your state of existence, purely. And because regardless of how the outside world, what influence that outside world has for you, the outside world is just that. It's the outside world, but you're the universe. And the system has taught us to make excuses, but it's because of this or because of that. One thing I always love, my mom made me always take responsibility for everything around me. Not saying that the influences around me weren't a created environment, but still in that created environment, my response to it was the only thing that really matters. It's the only thing that really would change stuff. If I want to put it this way, take it from a baseball standpoint. If you never learned how to hit a curveball, then every curveball that's thrown to you is going to strike you out. One of the things about hitting a curveball, you have to wait till it breaks before you hit it. You have to recognize it by its rotation that it's a curveball, and that its path that it's on right now is about to curve, in or out. And you wait for it to break. And then once it breaks, that's when you clobber it. Many of us haven't learned how to hit curveballs. And this is why we always get struck out. And I'm going to tell you something about that. If a Major League Baseball, let's take it from a professional standpoint, if a Major League Baseball pitcher knows you can't hit a curveball, they're going to throw you nothing but curves. Until you learn how to hit a curveball. And you can't wind your way through hitting a curveball. You can't tell the ball not to break. What you're going to have to do is you're going to have to learn the overall rotation and see where that is going to break. And then you're going to have to wait for it to break. The very thing that many of us are fearful of. A lot of our inability to achieve is because of fear. And we say always, yeah, but. And we yeah, but every excuse and every low self-esteem issue and every excuse and every fear, we always yeah, but. Because we swing at it at the pitch before it breaks, and it always strikes you out. Because when you swing, it's never there to be hit. I would love for all of us to learn to hit curveballs. Just because something didn't go right for you, just because it didn't go right that time, whenever we say, yeah, but, that's a curveball that we can't hit. Every excuse that we bring up, that's a curveball that we can't hit. But there are some people that learn to hit curveballs. And when they learn to hit curveballs, when they do hit the curveballs, they usually blast them. And it changes the score. They're able to hit home runs. That causes them to score, their team to score. They're able to hit singles and doubles and even triples. And the more curveballs that they are pitched, the more they become proficient in being able to identify and hit curveballs. Till it comes to this, until the other teams start to realize that that individual can hit curveballs, don't throw them any more curveballs. Because if you throw that person another curveball, it's going to be knocked out the park. It's not going to be on the in the field of play anymore. Their energy is going to propel that overall objective to hit that ball much further than the fence can keep the ball in. Hope you get what I'm saying. And be appreciative of everything. Be appreciative of the path that's been laid for you. And how you can be appreciative of that is by you actually being a path layer. And I just wanted to say that because I met with this person and this sister's learned to hit curveballs. She's not moved by the fears. She sees the opportunity and she has a collective agenda that is powerful. This is why this sister always has and always will succeed and do well. Because it doesn't matter what society throws her. Slider, a two-seam fastball, a changeup, doesn't matter. She'll always hit it out the park. And it was just really reassuring that I was able to resonate with her. In her some of the people that she works with, and I look forward to doing a lot of great things with her. So just wanted to share that with you. I don't know why, but I just wanted to tell y'all, man, we are some amazing people, and your overall talents and ability are super imposing, supernatural. But our overall fears in our minds and our doubt are debilitating and handicap. They handicap us. And when we resonate with low frequency, it keeps us from ever getting to an objective. So big ups to the sister. She knows. I agree with you, sister. Superman is the greatest of all the superheroes. That's a little inside joke, so or inside thing. So let me get into what's in the news, but I just wanted to say I just wanted to share that all with you all. I tell you, artists, some artists are just phenomenal people. Phenomenal people, because their art, that's all they really care about. That's their money. That's the intrinsic value that they give and they resonate with and they want to develop. So big ups to all of you that are artists that create the frequencies of prosperity. All right, so let's jump into what's in the news. Got a little off there. So first article I posted now. Today is, I also, before I do that, I want to read a couple of articles that I didn't get to read on Tuesday. Very, very important ones. And that's going to play into today as well. So let me go back to Tuesday. And I said, and Tuesday, it was a couple of articles that we need to definitely take a look at. I posted this one on Tuesday. Oops, let me pull this up, get the better view of this. It's going to be the future. I'm not going to go over, it's a bunch of stuff there, but I need to really, really get into today's show. Because I'm going to be traveling. So if I read everything that's within the news, I won't be able to do that. But let me get into this whole thing. Some major, major things. On Tuesday, I posted an article, How China is Beating America on Foreign Policy, from the South China Morning Post. Check that out. Next one. South Korea President South Korea president proposed U.S. postponed joint drills to reduce tensions with North Korea. That was from Sputnik News. Here's a huge story. And this is a story that I want to kind of get on. Just imagine if this would have went. And this is from Tuesday. This is from The Sun. Missile intercepted over Saudi Arabia just seconds before hitting the palace. Here we go, real quick. A missile fired at a Saudi Arabian capital in Riyadh was shot down moments before it hit a royal palace today. Saudi air defense intercepted a ballistic missile fired towards the city. The Saudi-owned channel reported in a news flash quoting a Saudi-led military coalition force, coalition official. The coalition is battering the junta's movement in nearby Yemen. Now, let me just say this. Imagine if that missile would have hit one of the royal palaces in Saudi Arabia on Tuesday. If that had hit, ladies and gentlemen, many people here would have been like, what's happening in the world? What's going on? And that would have been, that's one of the, that's the tenuous moments that we're in, that is now we're in a spot where it's only going to take one event to totally engulf the admission of World War III that's going to turn into Global Nuclear War I. We're going to take a look at that article today. Next one. My man Jam sent me this one. U.S. Navy needs more ships and weapons to fend off North Korea, top official warns. That one. And then next one I had said, this is critical. Please know what this means. And this is from the Washington Post. U.S. declared North Korea carried out the WannaCry cyber attack. The celebrity figurehead president administration of Donald Trump on Monday evening publicized acknowledging that North Korea was behind the WannaCry computer worm that affected more than 230,000 companies in more than 150 countries earlier this year. The attack was widespread and cost billions, and North Korea is directly responsible. Ladies and gentlemen, and when they say that, here's what's critical about that. that is deemed as an act of war. So the stage is definitely being set for that very thing to take place. And this is one of the critical things. We will be looking at this. Next one. It was, let me hurry up because I have a bunch of stuff to get to. And I want to read those because they play directly into today's show. And for those of you, please check out all of the articles that get take place inside of Candle, because there's some great things. Roz and Ramon posted some great stuff. Okay, so let me just touch on a couple of things that I want to get into today's show really quickly. So another article. Here we go. From Fox News, lying like a Fox News today. U.S. commandos trained to capture North Korea nukes. A U.S. military force reportedly trained earlier this month for a mission that will put them on, that will put them on North Korea soil. And the objective is to infiltrate and remove weapons of mass destruction, according to foreign military sources. Next article. And I'm going to raise a couple more. This is a major one. L.A. Ramon, Rise posted a really good one. The cholera outbreak hits 1 million. And then Rise says population control. Right. There's no way in the world cholera should be operating. Rise got that from a Cerebrally Naive Network. Next article. Oh, Rise posted this one from CNET. North Korea to the United States. We're not responsible for WannaCry. Next article, major article. L.A. Ramon posted this one. The U.S. reportedly wants to a limited strike on North Korea to give Kim Jong-un a bloody nose. The U.S. is reportedly considering a limited strike on North Korea to give Kim Jong-un a bloody nose. The U.S. has plenty of options for delivering a short, sharp strike against North Korea and could potentially deny them the ability to test and perfect intercontinental ballistic missiles. Well, no such thing. This is going to have major, major ramification. Here's why. And I want to get into this. Oh, last one. Here it is. And from RT, I posted this one from RT. UN General Assembly to hold rare emergency session after U.S. vetoes Germany, after U.S. Vetoes Jerusalem resolution. The UN General Assembly will hold a special session on Thursday following a request by Arabic and Muslim states. The countries have cited the U.S. decision to veto a draft resolution on the status of Jerusalem. And there was another article I saw that the U.S. wants to pull funding from the U.N. These are all the steps to war, ladies and gentlemen. These are all the steps to major, major wars. And what I want to do is I want to go back and I want to just read a couple of things to you and then paint this picture so that you can be thoroughly prepared. Earlier this week on Monday, when I'm going to go to the Sun time, the Sun. I'm going to read this real quickly, then I'm going to hit the WannaCry so that you'll know where we really, really are. And if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. Here it is. Palace assault. Ballistic missiles intercept over Saudi Arabia, capital of Riyadh. Just seconds before it slammed into a royal palace. You can pull this down. Okay, here we go. It has the actual, if you get a chance, definitely take a look at this. It has a video that goes along to it, but here's go. Saudi air defense intercepted a ballistic missile fired toward the city The city's own news channel reported in a news flash quoting a Saudi-led military coalition official. A ballistic missile is seen as it was fired towards the Saudi capital of Riyadh from an undisclosed location in Yemen. What does that mean, ladies and gentlemen? They're about to expand this war all out now. After the aftermath of the blast seen here in the sky over Riyadh as it was intercepted, a medium-range missile fired from Yemen. Move this back. The coalition is battling the armed junta movement in neighboring Yemen. A ballistic missile was launched at the city, at the Saudi capital. Mohammed Abulazan said on Twitter that a Volcano 2H ballistic missile was fired towards the royal palace. Bloomberg reported, tweeting that loud booms heard in central Riyadh were big enough where they were felt it was shaking our towers. Saudi Minister of Culture and Information tweeted, coalition forces confirmed intercepting an Iranian junta's missile targeting Saudi Arabia. There are no reports of casualties at this time. They got pictures of, and they show what said to be the, they're showing pictures of where the strike would have taken place. And they show the different types of what they say the different types of missiles were. Here we go. The Saudi Arabian military shot down a missile fired at the King Khalid International Airport in Riyadh. That was last month as well. So now what I want to say is this. This is critical because just imagine if that did hit a royal palace. You would be hearing about your children. And let me tell you, I was in the post office the other day, and I start seeing all this selective service and how it's every young man's duty to register for the selective service from 18 to 25. I haven't seen something like that since I was a kid myself in the 80s. And it was everywhere in the post office. Haven't seen that in so long, but it's coming back because it's going to start to show itself. If that missile would have hit in Riyadh and hit that palace, the overall war would have kicked off into an announced war. And it's just a matter, we are one event away there and other places in the world from that happening. And you thoroughly need to be prepared for that. And I'm going to come back to this because there's one more article I want to share with you all. And then give commentary and then hear your overall, if you had any questions or comments. We are already at war, folks. It's already. Well, when I say we, the world is already at war. The governments are already at war. And they're going to be, and their war is against you. And they're going to be killing innocent people all over this planet. Because of that. Now, another article really quickly that I want to get to, and it tells everything. Let me pull this baby up real quick. Here it is. From the Washington Post. U.S. set to declare North Korea carried out massive attack. The Trump administration on Monday evening publicly acknowledged that North Korea was behind a WannaCry computer worm that affected more than 230 computers in more than 150 countries earlier this year. The WannaCry attack was widespread and cost billions. And North Korea is directly responsible. Thomas P. Bornsert, Trump's Homeland Security advisor, said in an op-ed published in the Wall Street Journal on Monday. We did not make this allegation. We do not make this allegation lightly. It is based on evidence. We are not alone with our findings either. Let me stop there real quick. Let me tell you why they said we don't. We do not make this allegation lightly. Because this allegation of itself, once you make this allegation by the overall resolutions that were signed in the EU and the U.S. resolutions on cybersecurity that was signed by celebrity figurehead Obama, that any type of cyber attack that affects the economic system is an act of war, that every state has the ability to defend itself. What are they telling you, folks? That they are going to definitely do that. They are making the overall plausible deniability to get you to buy into the war. And just before that happens, I think that they're going to do a whole lot more than just that. And I also read that North Korea was storing bitcoins in order to fund their overall attack on and hacking into the system. Now, could that be true? Possibly. Could that be a lie? Even greater possibilities than that, because that type of propaganda serves the overall purpose of what? The whole setup. So now when they said that we don't make this lightly, because by making this allegation is that they've already declared war on North Korea. That's what this declaration really means. That's what this acknowledgement really means. Because that's what it was spelled out as by celebrity figurehead Obama when he was president. And they said that they didn't do this. They're not making this allegation alone. There was other EU countries that said the same thing, and they have the same resolution, that any type of cyber attack on the overall financial networks of any country is a attack on the country, and that state has the ability to defend itself from that attack at all costs. Meaning it's an act of war. Article goes on. At the White House on Tuesday, Bossert called the WannaCry attack a defining moment. All over, right there. A defining moment. They're going to say that's the new Pearl Harbor. That's what they're alluding to. And this is why it's so important that you prepare yourself, get what it is that you can get, and position yourself accordingly. I'm going to tell you, my whole day, and this is just for me. And I'm not saying that you need to be like me, because I'm not saying that I ever need to be like you. But I'm going to tell you, my whole day is always spent around preparing myself and my family and my overall community as much as I possibly can, because what's on the horizon is going to be so significant that you're going to want to cry. And it's still not enough. And right now, I would say for you, when you're dealing with individuals that don't see what you see, that's okay. Those are your eyes. But do not waste your time trying to convince them. Everyone's spiritual attunement should be attached to this, because it's all a part of a lie and a scam and a scheme. Don't waste your energy trying to convince someone. Now, it's not that time. Those moments have already passed. The thing that matters now is for you and for what you have defined as yours to lay your claim to what you will be doing and how you will be doing it. Not moving out of haste, not moving out of fear, but being fully aware of the moment. And I definitely do hope, but I don't see it. Just because I don't see it doesn't mean that it's true. But I don't see another year. At the overall pace and all of the clues and all of the hints that the system has already given, I don't see another year that this won't be fully acknowledged. And when it's fully acknowledged, ladies and gentlemen, it's too late. Now you move into a different space. What are you going to do with what you have? What are you going to do with the opportunity that you created? But let me finish this before we go on. On Monday, a defining moment, saying it affected individual businesses, governments worldwide, and put money as well as lives at risk. This was a reckless attack, and it was meant to cause havoc and destruction. Those are war words, ladies and gentlemen. He said at a news conference, drawing a connection between North Korea's alleged cyber activities and its development of nuclear weapons, he added, I think at this point, North Korea has demonstrated that they want to hold the entire world at risk, whether it be through its nuclear program or cyber attacks. I want to play this for you all. Acknowledge that the U.S. has had, Balsert acknowledged that the United States has few options left to retaliate against North Korea and to pressure the isolated nation to change its behavior. Short of starving its people or attacking it, North Korea already is one of the most heavily sanctioned countries in the world. He said it was important, nevertheless, to call North Korea out publicly. We're going to hold them accountable. We're going to say it, and we're going to shame them for it. North Korea was widely suspected of creating the virus paired with ransomware that encrypted data on victims' computer and demanded money to restore access. Until now, the U.S. government had not publicly stated as much. Why now? In June, the Washington Post reported that the National Security Agency had linked North Korea to creating the worm. In October, the British government declared that it believed North Korea was the culprit. The following month, the CIA issued a similar classified assessment, which has now been previously reported, which has not have been previously reported. In a statement Thursday, the British Foreign Office said the incriminating use of the WannaCry ransomware demonstrates North Korea's actors using their cyber programs to circumvent sanctions. The Foreign Office added that the decision to publicly incident sends a clear message that North Korea and its allies will not tolerate the UK and its allies will not tolerate malicious cyber activities. U.S.-based corporations, Facebook, Microsoft, and others for acting last week to disable North Korea's account. He issued a broad call to the U.S. companies to help defend the country and its allies against future cyber attacks.
Dave.
And I'm going to stop there for a minute. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
That sounds like fascism to me. I mean, he just openly saying, hey, we're going to merge private corporations and government. Isn't that fascism?
Yes.
Isn't that the definition of fascism?
That is fascism.
Wow.
Yes.
Listen, yes. Where did that article come from? Did you say the Washington Post?
The Washington Post. I posted it on
COINTELPRO
on Tuesday.
Participants in COINTELPRO hired Hillary Clinton's crooked campaign manager, John Podesta, whose brother, their little, what do they run? Tony Podesta and them, they got Pizzagate. Some kind of international Pizzagate. Group.
The Pizzagate.
No, not the Pizzagate. Not the Pizzagate. No, I ain't talking about that.
Oh, you're talking about what their business is.
Yeah.
It's a global company.
And ain't they being investigated for violating sanctions and stuff and doing business with companies under sanctions and stuff? So he works for the Washington Post, by the way, now. So again, man, we had to be cognizant of this propaganda from these people. Everything that they set up there and said about North Korea, the United States has done far worse. North Korea don't have the size of the captive prison labor force that the United States does. It has the world's largest. I don't read about citizens being gunned down in the street on their knees, seeing videos of their citizens on their knees, begging a slave catcher not to gun them down at point blank range and then shooting them anyway. I mean, come on. People just don't think, man. How many countries have North Korea bombed and invaded in the last 10, 15, 20 years? Zero. And then you want to talk about them. I mean, not you, Dave, but, you know, this person who wrote this article them engaging in nefarious criminal activities. Well, hell, if I was the most sanctioned country on the world, I would be doing everything I can to make it too. I don't see that no different than somebody forced to engage in the street market here in the United States because of poverty. I don't see it as being any different. So these people, man, you know, I just don't pay. I ain't going to say I don't pay attention because I do pay attention to what they're saying, but I just always take the viewpoint that they're lying to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So that's all I wanted to add.
Right. Right. And you know, my position is that they probably were the ones that actually did it. I want to play this real quickly. I'm going to do that before we go to the commercial break. Let me make sure. I just want to lay this. I want to play this. No, I'm going to go ahead and play this for you all because this is real, 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 really important. L.A. Ramon had posted, in case people are interested in a map of the global conflicts. Let me see. Speculated to come in 2018. Wow, I'm glad, man, good one posting. I would definitely like to see that. But this is very, to me, this is critical, everyone, because it's telling you they've already declared war on North Korea. The World War III has already started. Now it's just a matter of it coming to full fruition. Let's take a look. Let's see if I can, hopefully I can get this to work. I want you to hear them talk about North Korea and the WannaCry. Then I want to lay this out. We're going to go. I'm going to need a little extra minute, 2 minutes, Scotty, on the commercial break when we do it. And then I'm going to go past because I need to grab some gas as well as I'm traveling. But, oops, let me turn this down. But I want you to hear this and then lay this whole thing out for you all because what happened in Saudi Arabia, what's happening in different parts of the world, is all the setup to get your daughters in a war that humanly can't be won. Here we go.
In May of this year, a dangerous cyber attack known as WannaCry spread rapidly and indiscriminately across the world. Malware encrypted and rendered useless hundreds of thousands of computers in hospitals, schools, businesses, and homes in over 150 countries. While victims received ransom demands, paying those demands did not unlock their computers. This was a careless and reckless attack. It affected individuals, industry, governments, and the consequences were beyond economic. The computers affected badly in the UK and their healthcare system, put lives at risk, not just money. After careful investigation, the United States is publicly attributing the massive WannaCry cyber attack to North Korea. We do not make this allegation lightly. We do so with evidence, and we do so with partners. Other governments and private companies agree. The United Kingdom, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, and Japan have seen our analysis, and they join us in denouncing North Korea for WannaCry. Commercial partners have also acted. Microsoft traced the attack to cyber affiliates of North Korean government. Last week, Microsoft and Facebook and other major tech companies acted to disable a number of North Korean cyber exploits and disrupt their operations as the North Koreans were still infecting computers across the globe. They shut down accounts the North Korean regime hackers used to launch attacks and patched systems. North Korea has acted especially badly, largely unchecked for more than a decade. Its malicious behavior is growing more egregious, and stopping that malicious behavior starts with this step of accountability.
Okay, sorry about that. So, you heard the whole layout. Why should you care about this? To me, this is the modern day rendition of Pearl Harbor. Remember the ships that were so-called run into, and this is how this whole thing is going to play out, in my opinion, ladies and gentlemen. Is that they made the case to put the world at war. And just from the standpoint, let's just say that there is such a thing as good governments, and as they lay out this government and that government. Why now? Why this? Why this? Because the U.S. has lost its overall position. In order to maintain its position, it has to get back to what got its position. And its position was gotten by dropping two nuclear devices on Japan. And then creating an economic caste system throughout the world. And that caste system has lost its overall influence and its capabilities to maintain itself. So it has to be reinvoked. But this time, it has to be reinvoked from a position of defense from the U.S. because the rest of the world can defend themselves and they can move away from them. So they have to do what? Reposition themselves in a position of advantage by force and by fear. Just really look at it. Why would you sanction North Korea? Because they have ambitions to have a nuclear devices? Well, you have nuclear devices, and you use the nuclear devices. Who's the threat here? Because a country without nuclear devices has no what? Defense against those that do. And if you have no defense at those that do, what type of table of negotiation will you be at where you will have any form of leverage? None whatsoever. So it doesn't make sense. But here's what I really think. All of these governments are in one big fraternity against you and I. Because they understand how collective prudence, how powerful it is and what it gives. The overall influence, and more importantly, the overall control. And to have everything adhere to their free will. So they will definitely create a stage to maintain and to have that overall purpose of creating a system of subjugation that gives them all of the control and gives the people of the world crying for ownership. The ownership of their own demise. Look at what we own. We destroy ourselves by what we own. through the stress, through the consumerism, through the losing of our sovereignty, all for ownership and never control. This is going to be a major truth that the rest of the world is going to have to come to. But I would say for you all, the sooner that you come around to it and see who you truly are and what you're really, really capable of. Not just you as an individual, but you as an individual primarily. And I'm going to tell you, it's okay to die when you fight for life, because freedom, prosperity will surely come.
Dave, I got a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
What's your thoughts on the UN unanimously rejecting the white supremacist move of the United States to declare the capital of another country that they're going to recognize? What's your thoughts on that? Is that the world rejecting finally, you know, some of these moves? Is that like an indicator of a trend, you think?
I would hope that would be the case. But the UN has always known this the whole time. I think it's the play for the war. And it's a big play for the war, because from my standpoint, why did all of a sudden they come out to do that? They did that to actually instigate the war. And then now the UN and the rest of the world are saying no to that. So what is that really doing? That's putting the U.S. in a position where now they have to do what? They have to do something now to show that this is why we did it and this is why it's the best direction. This is all a setup. I anticipate that the overall Middle East is going to blow up within the next 90 days. And that's why, and that was one of the reasons why they did that, to instigate further attacks. Because as soon as they get tapped, what can the U.S. say? This is what a coward always does, is that their intentions is to steal the candy. But see, what they're going to do is they want everyone to look at them as they had to do something for the overall general good. This is a very dangerous move. This is a very, very dangerous move. This tells you that this thing is about to blow up. Announcing Jerusalem as the capital, that invokes so that there will be so-called acts of terror throughout the world that the U.S. can use as leverage when they were the ones that did it themselves. This gives them a perfect cover now to go in and do something and say somebody else did it, just like they did in New York. This gives them the perfect cover with Pearl Harbor to say that we were attacked by Japan. But what most people don't know is the U.S. had embargoed and sanctioned Japan. And Japan, you have Fukushima, because Japan doesn't have any natural resources such as oil that they can energize their economy with. So when you did an embargo on Japan, you were starving them out. They've been trying to starve North Korea out, but North Korea can't be starved out because it has neighbors to its left, to both of its sides, that have been supporting it because of necessity. Japan had none. So Japan is just like someone trapping you in your house. And whatever food you have, that's the only thing you was going to eat. When you start running out of food, what are you going to do? You're going to pick up the guns and come out blazing. But who really instigated that whole thing? Because what it is either surrender by our overall means, or start a fight so that we can say that we had to defend ourselves from when they were actually the aggressors. By doing that, that was an act of aggression, so that they can hide what they're going to be doing. Oh, they're going to hit a palace in Saudi Arabia. Oh, they're going to hit something in Iran. Oh, they're going to hit something in Syria. Blame it on something else. They're going to hit something in Israel. so that they know that that will invoke an all-out response to the world, and that will totally, and I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a tactical nuke. They use a tactical nuke anywhere in the world. The whole country is on, the whole world, and especially here, this so-called country here goes under martial law. Look at what they did. I don't know if you were aware, I couldn't even post it today, that there are a lot of UN troops in Chicago as we speak right now. This is the slow, methodical push in this plausible deniability. They do something and they have some a response by people and they say, well, they responded this way and that was the wrong response. When then actually the ones that instigated was the ones that actually did the act of aggression on all sides. It's worked so well in the past. Without people batting an eye, there were so many that thought that they needed to defend themselves, and they did whatever their so-called unwanted, we all have those unwanted uncles. And that's what we have now. And it's going to be a very, very dangerous situation. And you need to prepare yourself and your family for it. Listen, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we want to look at this and talk about this a whole lot more. Give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, then hit star, C-U-N-Q. Scotty, give me like 5 minutes. Actually need to grab some gas. And if you'd like to call in, give us a call, 866-510-9025, and just say, excuse me, because I won't be on the board. I won't be able to see you on the board. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Hey, caller, I just want to let you know, we, as soon as he comes back, we'll pick up that call. I see you on the board. Sorry about that, but just hang in there. And on the other side of this music break, we'll pick up your call.
I'ma give you what I got, and baby, that's plenty. I never had one man rock so many. I'ma make you wet and make you sweat, just to see how funky you can get. Now when I'm on the mic, I do so well, and I go by the name of the rapper Ja Lil. Now sit back and relax.
I'm ready, Scotty, wherever you are.
You ready for a trip through the atmosphere? Gonna take you for a ride. Twilight Zone, I don't need a spaceship.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave, from L.A. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. Then hit star. We'll see you in queue. I won't see you in queue. Just say excuse me, and we'll bring you up. I think we had a caller in queue just before we went to the commercial break that I didn't see on the board. So, Scotty, if that's so, let's go to that individual person. Let's just see that person is. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What's your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment?
This is Ross. How you doing?
My brother, Ross.
Yes, it's good to hear you today. Peace to Scotty, too. Yeah, that song just took me back to Video Music Box. That's the theme song. So
Video Music Box, that man.
I remember they came to visit me when I was like 12 years old. We were at a day camp, and Houdini came up there to hang out with one of the counselors because one of our camp counselors there. But that song brought back super memories. But yeah, you sparked a couple of things, brother. I would say first, I wanted to talk about when you talked about the UN in Chicago. Scotty had recently posted like an article, I think it was, or a link to an article with a black male politician that was calling for the UN to intervene in Chicago, as if they've been effective at stopping violence anywhere else in the world. So I don't know if you got to see that. I know you've been busy running around, but I just found that quite telling that they're already in Chicago, and you have this black politician who thinks, you know, the global organization of white supremacy as it stands in the UN, because anytime people say the UN, I just say the U.S., because the U.S. runs it anyway. Anything the U.S. Yeah. does, they're the only country that's never held accountable for anything they do. All of the non-white countries, they're constantly going to, you know, criminal international court and all this nonsense, but the U.S. can do whatever they want because they donate the lion's share of money to the UN. So, you know, like they say, the person who pays the piper calls the tune. So anything to do with the UN, obviously that brother who Scotty posted the article about is a highly confused victim who doesn't understand how the system works. But I just found that interesting. And also, I don't know if you saw this, but there was a brother, his name was Basaru Bey. He had posted an article on BTR that discussed that the Wall Street Journal was basically suggesting that the United States starve North Korea to death. Literally. Stop all of the vital shipments, stop their food from coming in, and literally starve them to death. And, like, they were adamant about it. There's an article right on there. If you put in the search engine, just put the word starve, it should come up. But it was a brother named Basaru Bey. I don't know if you saw that, because that kind of speaks right to what you were just talking about in regards to Pearl Harbor and stopping people from getting their food, their goods and services. That's going to create, like you said, a violent response. It's just like, you know, any other living thing. If you put them in a position where they're cornered and they have no way out except through you, they're going to get the guns out and go blazing through you to try and get to some semblance of normalcy and on food. So definitely, I think what you've been talking about is very important in regards to the setup, because it's quite telling the different steps that they're taking to isolate North Korea, and then blaming them for the WannaCry attack. I mean, all of this stuff, and it's weird because you look at it, all of these people are answering to the masters of the planet. Like, the whole approach, whenever other countries, especially non-white countries, North Korea in particular and other ones, whenever they approach the United States or these other European powers, it's always from a position of being beneath them, because we're in the system of white supremacy. So it's really, really telling that they're setting up things in a way that's going to, you know, facilitate quite massive amounts of loss of life. And I just think that they're gearing up for a serious population die-off globally, just with all the different things that I've been seeing happening. And the other thing that you talked about that was interesting was in the very beginning of the show, you talked about fear. And being crippled by fear, because when Jenna and my show this past Wednesday, we actually talked about that too. And I said if you really look at the culture of the people in control of this country, white folks, they don't have organized rites of passage. They just do things that help them conquer fear. Whether it's bungee jumping, which is what they stole from melanated people, that is actually a rite of passage into manhood in Papua New Guinea, and they stole that and they use that to conquer fear. They jump out of planes to conquer fear. They do those things, and they've crippled our ability to do those things, because our rites of passage at this point are non-existent in regards to our ability to teach our children how to conquer their fear. Just the organization of keeping black people from access to water. That is historical. We study that on the cows all the time. So a lot of black people don't know how to swim. And again, there's a fear that comes with learning how to swim, especially in the ocean, that, you know, these white folks make sure that they always have access to the beach. They always have control of beachfront properties. And for the most part, black people don't. So that is one aspect they cut you off from. The other thing is, like, when and on our show, I gave the example of the Maasai. You know, when you're 13, the Maasai is back. It's not the case anymore because lions are endangered. But back in the days when lions were more abundant, you know, when you were 13, your rite of passage would be to, they'd give you a spear, they give you a red or red and blue cloak, and they send you out into the bush until you come back with a male lion. And if you never came home, they know that you were lunch for the lion and you did not pass your rites of passage into manhood. If you came back with that lion, then you would complete the ceremony to go from being a child to a man. And that is how you conquer fear. That is exactly how you conquer fear. You have to put yourself in a position and you try to do it in a controlled situation where you know, things can get hectic and your life might be in danger. And you have to think on your feet and be mentally dexterous to navigate through that situation. And what it teaches you is things like, if you look at how the system functions, they conquer their fear with the stock market. So they have all of their money. They might be risky investments, and they'll throw their money into those investments. And once they make the money back, the fear is conquered. With us, we've been put in such a situation of being scared all the time, and we've been put in situations where we've been literally cleaned out and robbed blind by different get-rich-quick schemes and things like that, that when something does come up, like let's use the cryptocurrency, now it's new. So a lot of us are skeptical. Just like I was skeptical about all of this stuff years ago, Bitcoin and all that stuff. I was like, I ain't messing with this. I don't know about it, and it seems like some sort of scam. That's the first thing I said, scam, you know? And thankfully, I'm still at a point in history where it's still in its beginning stages, so I can take advantage of it the way that our enemies have taken advantage of it and are continuing to. So the idea is if we get in early enough, we can take advantage of it, like you always talk about, convert that cryptocurrency into real assets, and then get out of it before it's destructive, which is exactly what they do. They set up the system. They know it's corrupt. They know what the safe zones are, especially in the beginning stages of these criminal enterprises that they set up, financial criminal enterprises. They get in when it's safe. They get in before everybody else. They work their little financial magic, and then they jump off the ship while everybody else is stuck on a sinking ship because it took them so long to learn the rules of the game. So like the African proverb says, by the time the African understands the rules of the game, the game's over and everybody done went home. And that is what fear produces. You're always behind the curve. You're always chasing. You're never in a state where you can be preemptive. You're always in a reactive state. So that is a big part of conquering fear. And I think that we should really think about studying the different ways that we utilize rites of passage to not just facilitate helping our children mature to adults, but also to facilitate them conquering their fear in ways that we no longer even remember half of this stuff because it's been brutalized out of us for the last 500 plus years. So I just wanted to toss that out there. Again, thanks. Great show. Scotty, you're brilliant. Thank you for the platform. I love both of you. Peace and love, and I'll mute myself.
Man, hold on, Raj. You can't mute yourself. Raj, you there?
Okay.
Do we got any hold on one second, here. Raj. Hold on one second. Scotty, do we have any other callers that's there?
Yes.
Okay, no, I guess not. Are there
yes,
other callers
we do. I'm sorry, I couldn't unmute myself.
Anyone else?
Yes, we do got another caller.
Okay, hold on, Raj. Let's go to this other caller. Then I definitely want to dialogue with my brother Raj on this. The other caller, welcome caller to Tando Radio Show, says you. Who are you and where you're from, and what's your question or comment?
Hey, Steve, what's going on? It's Thomas.
Big T, how you doing, Thomas?
Hanging in there, brother. How you feeling, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Good to hear from you. I hadn't talked to you in a little bit. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Yes, sir, man. Good evening. I did have some articles, but I generally I try not to be combative, you know. But I don't agree with the way you laid everything out. I just want to say, man, I haven't seen any. I sort of sort of articles about the troops going to Chicago or UN troops, but I haven't seen any actual proof that they're there. Do you have any proof of them being there right now?
Actually, I saw an article, and what I said earlier was that there was an article. I didn't get to post it.
They're not there. I actually, last BTR News in the first hour, I covered that and I echoed the things that Ross said about, hey, when has the UN ever stopped any violence and what have you? And to my knowledge, they've been spreading cholera, been raping children in Africa. And so who is this dude and why would he even propose such a thing? But no, they're not actually on the ground. He went to the UN and to talk to the UN Secretary General about the possibility of putting blue helmets on the streets of Chicago.
Okay, yeah, like I was saying, I said it was an article, but I'm going to tell you what is there. There's contractors that are there in Chicago. Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure.
Contracting forces that are there. But that part, I didn't read the whole article, like I said, so that part. But go ahead, Tommy.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, they should have a lot of contracts. They got a Mossad mayor. Just to hit on that Chicago thing, last year they had 762 murders. And honestly, that's not a crisis in Chicago. Between 1970 and the year 2000, that's 30 years, we only had 6 years with less than 700 murders. So this isn't like a huge spike, you know, in Chicago violence. It's just being, you know, positioned that way by the mainstream media. The other thing, are you familiar with the, I know you're familiar with the Saudi purge, because I heard you talking about Saudi Arabia and Yemen. Are you familiar with why that purge took place?
Am I familiar with why that purge took place? I have my overall outlook on why it took place. Yes, I do.
Did you hear any of the information about the prince and attempted assassination in Las Vegas?
The Vegas connection that was there was that I'm going to say that. No, I said it before, so I'm not going. This is what happened in Vegas, from my understanding, was that it was a gun deal that went bad, and that overall gun deal was directly could have been tied to what happened in Saudi Arabia just weeks after, and they all coincide, because if you look at the, and I'm talking about that mass shooting that happened in Vegas, that was a cover for what really happened.
Absolutely.
That, in my opinion, the individual that they said carried that out was working for, and if you look at how that room was set up, whenever you are engaged in any sting operation or any clandestine operation, you film it. That's why he had cameras all over the place, because he was filming. And what I think happened from different sources is that it was a gun deal that went bad, just like Stevenson and Benghazi, it was a gun deal that went bad. And this gun deal went bad. And when that gun deal went bad...
Are you familiar with the fact that they tried to assassinate the prince during this concert?
That they tried to assassinate a prince during the concert?
The king of Saudi Arabia, he cut a deal with Trump. Trump sending a bunch of airplanes over, and part of this deal is that they're going to allow Saudi's oil to go public in January. You can Google that. It's going to be the biggest company on the stock exchange. And part of this deal was, you know, they're cutting a deal. It's different than the last deal, of course, they got from the neoliberals, Trump, Clinton, Bushes, etc.
and the old school Saudis didn't like this deal. And they were against the king, and they attempted to kill the prince in Saudi Arabia. And you'll see him leaving the Tropicana. The FBI came and got him. They're rushing him out the Tropicana. They're shooting at his car as he's leaving the scene, as he's trying to get to the airport. You didn't hear any of this?
You know what? I'm not surprised, because I did. I know that there were multiple places that were had engagement even at the airport. So I wouldn't be surprised if there is some measure of truth of that, because
Biden laid out in 8 hotel rooms, like 8 different hotels. You see these agents who was trying to kill him, body, you know, just in the lobby. And they got the pictures of all this, like this guy dead at a hotel a quarter mile away from the Mandalay Bay. Not totally unrelated to that shooting, but let up. I mean, pinpoint accurate shots. But either way, the week after that, all those people who conspired against that prince got kidnapped in Saudi Arabia, put in rooms, kidnapped, beat up, and including the dude who owns a huge part of Citibank, Prince Allah, whatever. And he had to sign over $100 billion in his assets, sign them over to the king. And he's pretty much been left as a pheasant. But if you look at that, this is the U.S. They're pulling the strings over there. They got Saudi ready to go to war with Iran, Yemen, and they also have Israel. You know, I mean, this is an easy one with Israel. You just got to give them, you know, a little capital, and they ready to go. They're blowing up cities over there already. So this is the U.S. keeping their grips on the Middle East. And also, if you notice, they cut a deal with Russia. Russia leaves the day after he praises Trump, he leaves Syria. So Assad has no more protection over there. Are you familiar with that?
Yep. Very familiar with it. And remember, just before all of that purge in Saudi Arabia happened, Look at the travel log from the U.S. The dignitaries that went over to there to do what? To bolster that overall agreement and that deal. Yes, they're from my understanding, there were some of the royal family that didn't want to participate in the direction. This is why the MBS
call
was
recording off.
took his position as the crown prince of Saudi Arabia, next as the heir to the throne, and he kicked out the reigning crown prince. These stages happened, and I think it was 2 years ago that there was a high-level royal family member of the House of Saud that was actually the motorcade was jacked in France, in Paris. And in order to do that, that had to be a highly sophisticated operation. Jacked them, didn't take anything but documents. And what was in those documents? The agreement of the old Saudi family. And that's when they members, and that's when they started killing some of these Saudis during the purge. And the story that you're talking about, I'm not surprised, because the Saudis have a very strong affinity for, and I know this personally, for Las Vegas. So I'm not surprised. I didn't hear of that story, but I knew that the overall shooting was a cover for what really happened inside of Vegas during that time. And the overall, it's basically the setup for the, because there was a deal that may have been brokered with Iran, because remember, Saudi Arabia is running out of oil. It has no more oil. And it has to diversify its economy in order to survive. And this is going to cause a displacement and influence in that region. The number one, the country that matters in that immediate region is no longer Saudi Arabia. It's Iran and Syria. So, yeah, Thomas, that was the first time since you, when you said that, but I know that there were multiple, and it was a cover for what really happened. That definitely makes sense to me. And why you want to have that massive shooting to have as much chaos so that as the shootings continue to happen all over the place, it's covered. And people are just in, you know, frantic because that was an operation. So, yeah, I definitely could see that.
Absolutely. And also in North Korea, as far as their nuclear weapons, though, and we saw the last test. Now, they didn't have a test for a few months prior to that last big one that they went off, which I think was all totally photoshopped. Now, if you could Google, and this came up in every major newspaper, but very few put it in context, 200 people killed, 200 people dead in North Korean earthquake. This happened right after the nuclear, so-called nuclear missile they tested before the last one. So it was like some months in between them. And in that article, it would tell you that earthquake killed the North Korean scientist that was working on the nuclear project. So for them to pop up with this bigger missile, and so this is all propaganda by the United States, and also using that cyber attack, because they have to, in order for these people to stay in power, they have to knock off China. I mean, it's just obvious. And the way they're going to do that is, of course, through North Korea. Now, mind you, North Korea is the size of Mississippi. I mean, this ain't no big place. And I don't think it would be a hard war at all. But they will be sending out daughters, though. That's the best part. But I just wanted to know if you had known that the North Korean scientists, as per, you know, Washington Post, U.S. Today, all of the mainstream media, they died in that attack. The 200 people died in that earthquake. Did you see that article?
Yeah, I heard that about that. I didn't give much credence to it at all.
Oh, okay.
I didn't give much credence to it at all. Only because of this. North Korea, even though it is as small as it is, remember, in 1950, with China's help, the U.S. could not move past the DMZ. I mean, they could not penetrate North Korea.
Hey, Dave, I was going to...
They could beat them in the 50s. What was that, Scotty?
Yeah, I was going to mention that, too. I thought I heard Thomas say that he thinks this will be an easy war for the United States. No, I don't think so. The Korean Peninsula isn't that large, and they have all kind, you know, who knows how much artillery they got pointed at South Korea. Where would the United States be able to stage? They not going to storm the beaches like they did in Normandy, okay? That ain't going to fly with today's technology. So that means they would have to probably stage on the DMZ in South Korea. And Dave is correct. With China's help, I mean, the first Korean War isn't really over. Technically, it's not.
It's
just
over.
A ceasefire.
Right.
And so I don't think Russia.
It's armistice.
I don't think Russia nor China would allow the United States to run up in North Korea so that then it can be a proxy right on their borders. It would not be no cakewalk for the U.S. It would be a huge loss of life if they had, and they would have to put boots on the ground, and it would lead to a massive loss of life.
Yeah, and they can't do it. They, you know, just from that standpoint of militarily, they can't do it. They couldn't beat them in the 50s. They can't beat them now. And one of the reasons is that one of the benefits that North Korea has is that it has nuclear-powered neighbors. And so that it prevents the U.S. From being in. Scotty's absolutely right. The Armistead Treaty is still an engage. The U.S. is still at war with North Korea. It's just that because of the treaty, they have put up the DMZ where you stay here and we stay there, don't cross that. But it's still an act of war with North Korea. So they haven't been able to beat them since the 50s. And here it is in 2000 and going in 2018. There's no way in the world they're going to be able to beat them going forward. And I would just say this about North Korea's, in my opinion, North Korea's nuclear capabilities. Absolutely. Because one of the things that's important in able to establish any nuclear armament is that you have to have silver. And North Korea has a large deposit of rare earth minerals, and they have a large deposit of silver in their country. No silver, no nuclear device. This is why the U.S. had to, for the Manhattan Project, had to have where they had the citizens of the United States hand in all of their silver to the U.S. government so that they can do what? Build the atomic weapon. No silver, no bomb. And the overall device that they have that I've seen, and I have experience with some, they have it, and they definitely have it. And that last, when they were able to put, and we're getting ready to go to a commercial break, when they were able to put that ballistic missile in the upper atmosphere and then bring it back down in a controlled trajectory, that means that they could reach any country on the planet. And that in itself is and they've gotten help from their very neighbors that they need to protect them with. And so they definitely have nukes. So listen, guys, get ready to go to a commercial break. Want to come back to make sure to Thomas. Great, always great conversation with my man Thomas and Rod. Listen to Tando Radio Show brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to the Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, and just say, excuse me, we'll see, hear you on, and we'll definitely bring you up. We were talking with my man Rods and my man Thomas, some great, great dialogue with those brothers, as always, greatly, greatly appreciate those. So, in my opinion, yes, North Korea is definitely a nuclear country. Japan is a nuclear country. Saudi Arabia is a nuclear country. There are many, many nations that are nuclear countries now. And you know, my overall take on that is that they have a right to defend themselves from just the overall paradigm of sovereign government. So no country should be telling another country that they can't have something that they have and something that they've used in the past to really rein in to rein down the overall benefits of terror. So North Korea is, to me, is in the ideal position. And North Korea, in my opinion, is going to unify the Koreas, which is going to bring about a strong economic force once North Korea and South Korea co-join themselves back. That is going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal economic hub in the world, in the future economy. And I'm going to tell you how that's going to happen. Is one of the ways that that's going to happen is first that you have to take out the United States, and there's going to be the untied states of America and won't have the overall capabilities to prevent that from happening, because it's you know, it's a chess game that is being played out against us all. And so, but in my overall assessment is that North Korea has been a nuclear country for a very, very, very long time, much longer than with that. And you know what's so funny? And just from the standpoint, if you have a nuclear nation as Russia, nuclear nations such as China on your borders, and they've been your biggest, China's been your biggest supporter and beneficiary, you've been the biggest, one of the largest beneficiaries to China, why wouldn't you think that they would give the technology to you to develop it? So that is, you know, there are many reasons why North Korea has that capability. But from the overall devices that I seen from my overall experience, oh, without a doubt, done deal. And once they became a nuclear capable company, that country that was able to put this last test, basically meant game over. You can't mess with them. Because, you know, one of the things with North Korea, here's what North Korea can do. They can have engaged in cyber tactics, because today's warfare has no garrison. It means it has no forward edge of a battle zone, and it has no safe zone anywhere in the world. Everywhere in the world can be targeted economically for destruction, and then to weaken its overall military defenses so that it's susceptible to even being attacked militarily. In today's world, the ultimate position is through digital. You know, that's the ultimate weapon. So by using that, you can cripple. It doesn't matter. And this country is so dependent on technology. One real swipe of the overall grid, and everything changes. You weaken in the capabilities. And the nuclear armaments in this country are so, you know, they're so outdated, you know, from that, which, you know, is all a part of the play, because this, I firmly believe that the system has every empire fall, because it will actually be the sacrificial lamb, so that the overall control of the nations maintain its overall position, so that people won't start to look at, hey, this nation stuff is a hoax, it's a facade, it's a lie. There are controlling factors by way of those that control resources, develop nations as their overall puppets. So everyone will be looking at the puppets, but they will never take a look at the puppet master. So we are in a very, I would say, in a very opportunist time for us as people around the world. And because so many people are resonating differently and waking up to different things, and so many people are much more prepared than what a lot of us think. And I love how people have been preparing quietly for different things, because that is going to be what people are going to need to rely on, and where they're going to be able to see the collective prudence beyond the demographics of division that have been placed before us. You know, those things don't work as well as they used to before. And I appreciate that, because it shows the overall growth of our overall frequencies as the great species of superhumans that we are. You know, we can see past, even through the intoxifying food and air and water. Our overall ability to circumvent that is superhero like. And this is why you have a lot of, in my opinion, you have a lot of play in that world to get us to look at ourselves as not being super capable, but to only think that type of power can only be displayed on the silver screen. And I just want to say, the silver screen, there's a reason why they call it the silver screen, because the magic overdoes that. But not, I divest from that. But because when we look at it from an entertainment and a subliminal message, we think that someone else is a superhero, so that we will never be the superhumans that we truly are and the true capabilities of ourselves. And we think that it's just a Marvel character. And that means we diminish our full capability. And those capabilities are going to be heightened as things start to unfold in a very in a very controlling, disastrous way. And from that, I think that the overall fullness of our capabilities will only be heightened. It's kind of like whenever someone loses their sight, their overall sense of hearing and their overall sense of smell is stronger. Well, if we will ever lose our dependency on the system, our overall spider senses, our overall Superman, Superwoman abilities will be even heightened, because we've given up a sense of navigation that we no longer have to our disposal, so we enhance the ones that we do have. And the natural ones that we do have need to be reawakened. And it can be reawakened in you. But one of the things I think that's critical for that reawakening to happen is for us to surrender our dependency on comfortability, our dependency on entertainment, our dependency on the system. Once we do that, we can return to who we are, have always been, and our overall talents and ability can now be sharpened. Whenever you lose, whenever you don't use what was given to you from the great creator, whenever we don't use it, you lose it. Just as any other talent, if an artist doesn't draw, their lines are no longer sharp.
Go ahead. Right. I'm sorry for interjecting. I just wanted to just add something to what you were just talking about in regards to the cyber attacks and whatnot. I also think that's another reason that they're moving to cryptocurrency, because it'll make it easier for you to cripple another country without nuclear war if you can just shut down their electrical grid and nobody has access to money, so there can't be any exchange. I just think that's when you always talk about all of these countries, these figureheads being in one big fraternity. That's what I see. They're all in this fraternity. Let's move towards this cryptocurrency, not just to control more refined and more heightened control of the exchange of money and goods, and also making sure we get our taxes, our due. On top of that, you know, we don't have to go blowing each other up. What we got to do is just shut down the electricity, and you can cripple a country in minutes. It won't even be like,
and people will surrender.
Absolutely.
And people will surrender.
They'll immediately surrender, because, I mean, if you have no proof of your accounts before they shut the electricity off and everything goes down, then you don't know if all of the evidence of your prior history is going to be there, which is kind of what happens with all of the when you had all of these different Black Wall Streets across the country that were destroyed by white people. What they did was they would destroy the records that these black people owned their own land. So when they, like, you know, they'll blow up the city hall and burn everything, and then when these black people came back to their ancestral land that they had for however many generations they couldn't count, they'll say, well, there's no proof that you ever owned this property. And then the white people who stole it would just move right in, take it, and act like nothing happened. There's a great documentary called Vanished, where they show the history of that, where they destroyed the records. These black people own these places after basically they sundown, and they told them, if all of you ain't out of this town by sundown, we're going to kill every one of you. And that's exactly what they did. And that documentary,
and
I think, is one of the greatest.
That's important, because that shows how the system wants you to own everything, because everything you own can be dutifully repossessed. See, the thing what I've always said about Black Wall Street was that Black Wall Street had a flaw. The flaw of Black Wall Street was ownership. They controlled nothing. They controlled nothing. They owned everything. And when you own anything, it can be repossessed from you. And what Roz is talking about, by blowing up the records, they repossessed what they owned. But see, if they had control of it, they never would even have been able to be targeted. Wouldn't even have been able to be targeted. It's so, so important. And Roz, I didn't mean to cut you, but I know I wanted to just...
No,
that was so important.
No, you said something brilliant, because in that documentary, they had a couple of people with a couple of situations for a couple of families where they did not destroy the records. So their descendants ended up going through the annals of history. They had to go through all these old papers from the late 1800s, early 1900s, to see how the white people who were on those properties today got there. And every case, they said there's no evidence of these black people signing over their homes and their property to these white people. Because what they did was they shot them all down, chased them out of town, and then they just moved in, straight moved into the house. Like, the houses they didn't burn down, they just literally, white people just moved in. and there was no actual documentation. Even though the white people were saying, "Yeah, they gave our you know, our relatives this land," they would go right into City Hall, pull the records, and there was no records of the legal transfer of any property from any of those black people to the white people. And then, lastly, I posted an article, just yesterday, from the Washington Examiner, and it's entitled "Trump is the First President to Protect Electric Grid from EMP and Cyber Attack." I'm just going to read the blurb. President Trump became the first national leader to call for protecting the U.S. electric and communications grid against an electromagnetic attack like the one practiced in North Korea. Deep in his new national security strategy released this week, he made good on a campaign promise to move quickly to make the fixes that proponents have long called for. So the setup is there. He knows that they're about to set it off, and he's literally telling you, okay, we're about to set it off. So you know what? All y'all been complaining, and look at him. He's getting caught up with the all of his deviant sexual behaviors coming out. They're about to possibly try to impeach him behind Russia. So what better way to put your name down in the annals of history as a president who did good, as the worst president in this country, than protecting the electric grid? Just like Obama's supposed greatest claim to fame was creating the Obamacare. They wrecked everything else, but he left with that legacy. Donald Trump, even if he's impeached, if he can get that done, he's going to leave with that as his legacy. So no matter how horrible he is, they're going to say, well, at least he fixed the grid. So that's why I wanted to toss that out there. Thank you.
Hey, Ross.
And I'm going to tell you, go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, Ross, I just posted an article in BTR Community, 160-year-old documents intentionally destroyed in Franklin County, North Carolina. These were property deeds because of what you just talked about. Even in the county that live in, okay, they have done stuff to the property records, muddied the records, and so to speak. One of my cousins was at a bar one time in Charlotte and ran into this white guy that worked in the deed department of Gaston County, and the white dude was drunk. And he was like, do you know how much, when he found out that my cousin's last name was Rankin, okay, and he said, do y'all know how much land y'all got up there? But, man, they done messed them records up. And then my cousin tried to get more information from him, and he shut up. He caught himself. So this is a tactic that I have no doubt has been used all over the country in terms of removing or stealing black people's land.
Without question, and again, I suggest every black person in earshot, and I believe the documentary is on YouTube, is called Banished, B-A-N-I-S-H-E-D. It is one of the best documentaries ever regarding that subject, and you can see how they did one brother's family so horribly that they wouldn't even allow him to dig up his grandparents, one of his grandparents, and move them to where the other one was. Because they literally, I think the grandmother and grandfather were physically separated because one was buried in the area where they stole the land from these people, and the other one was buried where the family relocated to after their land was stolen. And they would literally gave him pure H-E double hockey sticks just to try and get his relative out the ground to actually move them to be with their life partner. So, I mean, like, it still happened. And this is a recent one. This documentary is not old. It came out probably in the early 2000s. So this is something that came out not too long ago that people can check out and see how this is done to our people. So I'll mute my line.
Man, you know, we definitely gonna have to get ready and get out of here. But I just want to say
this.
Did
you pick up Mail's call?
I'm so thankful for you all.
Did you get Mail's call?
I think I heard somebody.
You got Mail on the line.
Was there someone else?
Mail, did you have a comment?
Someone else?
Peace, man. We got two minutes.
Go ahead, Mel.
I can wait till tomorrow's show, man. I was just going to bring up
that article
about my wife was telling me about in China. By 2020, they're going to have every one of their citizens classified by their credit score, by their associates, by their behaviors, and that's going to determine the certain resources that they're privy to. Jobs, if they're able to, and I'm wondering if they're going to roll that kind of system in out here eventually.
Yes, Man, I'm glad you, man, put that article. Let me tell you why. Because as you move out of a debt-based economy, you're going to move into an asset-based economy. And the asset-based economy is not determined on your past debt. Debt is going to destroy everything. And when that destroys it, the new economy is going to be based off an asset. And here's the good thing about that is that you can acquire assets now. Here's the bad thing about that. If you thought the debt system brought so much poverty, wait until you see how much the asset system, how much poverty it brings throughout the world, because less people have any form of real assets. Guess what they have? Consumer goods that have no intrinsic value at all. That is even worse than the debt system. So this is coming up. Man, I definitely got to get with that, Mel. So listen, everyone, got to get ready to get out of here. Much love, much respect to you all. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. Peace.
Brother Braggs, did you want to chime us out? And also, we have Blacks in Business Radio coming up. So make sure y'all stay tuned for that. It'll be hosted by Sister Erica Parker, and they will be talking about social media support and small business. Brother Braggs, if you will, chime us out, please, sir. You there, Brother Braggs? Okay, Brother Braggs may not be there. All right, I'm going to go ahead and close out the show again. Blacks in Business Radio coming up in just about 10 minutes. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We'll be right back.